One. They say cutback, we say payback. Reparations now, independence in our lifetime.
Hi, I'm Bill Canada. Uhuru. Welcome to Solidarity Not Charity, the show hosted by the African People's Solidarity Committee on Uhuru Radio, the online voice of the International African Revolution. We always like to thank the African People's Socialist Party for giving us this airtime on Uhuru Radio broadcast to be able to address questions related to our work to build solidarity organizations under the leadership of the party and organizing participation from the white community in the Uhuru movement under the leadership of the African working class. Uhuru Solidarity Movement, Uhuru Foods, and the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement took part in a festival yesterday in San Francisco titled Power to the Peaceful. We're going to talk about the question of peace and what the Uhuru movement understands as the road to peace. We will hear from organizer Sayali Moyenda, and also from several of our volunteers in the Uhuru Foods booth who participated in fundraising at the festival. We think it is significant that we are discussing the whole question of peace following the 8th anniversary of the September 11th attacks on the United States. As was said earlier on Africa Live, the attacks on the symbols of U.S. imperialism, in this case the World Trade Center, challenge the notion of invincibility of imperialism and represents the crisis of imperialism, which cannot rule in the same way, but was used to renew U.S. aggression against the peoples of the world. The whole question of power and peace is something that we need to address. We live at a time when increasingly the U.S. imperialist system as we know it is in crisis, and the peoples on the planet, including African people right here inside the U.S., are struggling for power. And the issue of peace is critical. We are entering the 8th year since the U.S. began its assault on Afghanistan, with the Obama administration asking for $83.4 billion to fund the war on the people there. Right here in Oakland, the African community does not know peace. 1 in 5 families live below poverty. Nearly 50% of the general budget goes towards police for police containment. The foreclosure rates are off the charts. Anywhere in East and West Oakland, as you drive through town, You'll notice homes for sale, people pushed out onto the street. There's no safety net, and the city has no solution. And of course, African and oppressed peoples all over the world are not at peace as a result of white power and parasitic capitalism. Where starting with the so-called Crusades and the massive attack by Europe on Africa and the so-called Americas, African and oppressed peoples have not known peace. So this question of peace is something that we as African internationalists must be able to clearly define. What kind of peace is being called for, and what will it take to bring peace to the planet? With me in the studio is Wendy Snyder.
Uhuru,
the local chair of the Uhuru Solidarity Movement. And you were out there, as well as myself, yesterday at the event, Power to the Peaceful. Could you say something about the work you did at the festival?
Yes. First of all, Uhuru, I really want to also thank the African People's Socialist Party again for giving us this show and this opportunity to speak and grapple with these issues and reach more and more white people through this type of programming. White people who can see ourselves as we did as part of this Uhuru movement begin to participate, whether it be in Uhuru Foods, Uhuru Solidarity Movement, or participating with the African Village Survival Initiative, or with Uhuru News in some capacity. So, you know, the Uhuru movement participated in a great way at this festival yesterday in San Francisco's Golden Gate Park. And we did, as you know, a double-wide Uhuru Foods booth that was staffed by, I think, at least 30 young people from Japan, Korea, Oakland Skyline High School, and I'm sure others, where we sold delicious, really delicious food. And we also had a joint booth, and that's where I was, at the booth that was co-coordinated with the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement and the Uhuru Solidarity Movement. And it was a really great day of organizing. MPDEM organizer Sayali Moyenda and Comrade Yawo sold the bulk of the Burning Spear newspapers that we sold 60 Burning Spear newspapers, and that was mostly Comrade Yawo going out into the crowd and selling the African People's Socialist Party newspapers. That was incredible. We also passed out brochures for the African Village Survival Initiatives and postcards for the upcoming African People's Solidarity Day that's going to be held on October 20th. And so I just wanted to share first off that the booth was very successful. We met people from up towards Lake Tahoe in Sacramento, a place called Grass Valley, who want to donate seeds. They have a vegetable farm. We met a French professor from the University of Pacific who she bought a t-shirt from Planet Uhuru, the t-shirt that shows the resources that are stolen from Africa, because she met African people from the Congo who were protesting her university's international studies and their ties to the government of the sellout government, U.S. puppet government of Congo that is stealing the resources and killing the people there. We met different students and just a whole number of people throughout the Bay Area, someone from occupied Palestine, just really, you know, people were excited about hearing about the Uhuru movement and getting involved. We also met a number of people who are going to participate in this yoga with a purpose benefit that I know we'll be talking more about on other shows. But this is a benefit for the African Village Survival Initiative, and people that we met, a studio in Sebastopol in Northern California, as well as yoga teachers in San Francisco who want to get on board with this. So really excited about that. So overall, you know, we had a good presence there.
Great. Yeah, I know that as the movement geared up for this festival, we had our purpose and our vision and our focus going out there. I know certainly at the foods booth, it provided us with an opportunity to see past volunteers. They stopped by the booth, wanted to know if we needed any extra help, what's going on with the work this fall. The donations were really high at the food booth, so there was a lot of support beyond the food sales, and the food sales were also really good.
Excellent.
So we know our purpose out there, but what can you tell me about this Power to the Peaceful?
Yes, so there's no other way to say it, but Power to the Peaceful, that slogan, is a co-optation and a distortion of the slogan that was made popular by the Black Panther Party, which was All Power to the People. And the Uhuru Movement has adopted this slogan and expanded it to the call and response chant, and I'll just say it here for you, All Power to the People.
Black Power to the African Community.
All right, and so that's something that we learn in the Uhuru Movement as a call and response. And so the whole question of power tied to a very specific demand by a specific people, African people, who've been robbed of their power is very different from Power to the Peaceful, which perverts this demand for power, self-determination, and national liberation by the African community into something else, implying that somehow peace comes with just how we act, how we move as individuals, or that only peace, only people that can have power are those that remain peaceful, so that it really attacks the oppressed African community's right to fight back and to resist its oppression, power to the peaceful only somehow. And so, you know, we just have to be clear that in and of itself, that attacks the African working class movement and other anti-colonial movements who are resisting and struggling. So, what I wanted to say also was the Power to the Peaceful Festival was actually originally created in response. It was called 911 Festival, and it was founded by cultural worker Michael Franti, who's part of Spearhead. And it was in response to the urgent situation faced by the African political prisoner Mumia Abu-Jamal, you know, as a former Black Panther leader, and as people, most people know, is on death row, framed up for supposedly killing a cop, and with so much evidence to the contrary. But in any case, that's what the original call of the festival was, because it was in an urgent situation, and it continues to be. Following the attack on the United States at September 11th, 2001, the festival became one as a day to remember these attacks and to have compassion with all the victims of, this is in Franti's words, terrorism and the response to terrorism. And this year he has said that this is a day to remember September 11th as a day of service towards peace. And I just want to say that Obama has called for the same thing on Friday. So Obama, and I think you mentioned earlier about the billions of dollars that Obama has, you know, is calling for. I think this month he's calling for 80-something billion dollars towards Afghanistan, continuing the U.S. war on Afghanistan and Iraq. And so we have to say that this is an imperialist peace that they're talking about. Just calling for a day of national service towards peace, it maintains the current reality that African and oppressed peoples face around the world. It doesn't change anything.
So. Yeah. Thank you, Wendy, for exposing that. I took a few minutes out of the booth and looked around, and for myself, I could see that there's generally a political vacuum out there. It was mostly a day for people to hang out and listen to free music, and there really wasn't much of any kind of mobilization or, what is the next step from this. I didn't really see how the festival was being used to organize people for, you know, for the next step if they're after some sort of real peace. It was really just, you know, peace for ourselves, and let's enjoy the day in San Francisco. So, again, thanks for making that clear alignment with Obama. Right now, we're going to go to a clip of Sayali Moyenda, who's a leader in the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement, who was also out at the Uhuru Outreach booth.
today. Appreciation for being out here today. This whole question of this whole thing, power to the peaceful, is, well, for the Uhuru movement, the way we see peace is through the total unification and liberation of Africa and African people worldwide. That's right. You know, that's ultimately where we see real peace happening. Because every day you look into the African community, especially in East Oakland, there is no peace. There is unrest.
Right.
You know, you see the conditions of existence that African people are forced to live under, and we didn't create those conditions.
Right.
You know, but the thing is that we have an organization on the ground in Oakland that's really struggling to overturn the conditions of life that African people face. And, you know, this process here today, we really want to, you know, give people an opportunity to, you know, see a different political line out here in the world. That
now, how does the Uhuru movement's line differ from the line of this festival, do you think?
Well, quite simply, it's not about charity. Mm-hmm. It's about self-determination for African people. It's about self-reliance. It's about being able to have our own economic institutions and cure the illnesses that, unfortunately, colonialism, generations upon generations of colonialism, has caused for our people. I like to call them illnesses. You know, when we see, you know, just the depression and the pain that's in the African community. I'm just, you know, so grateful that we have the Uhuru movement in the world to help to deal with that. I mean, because unfortunately, charity is not going to work. I mean, it doesn't address the primary problem of why African people are homeless, why African people don't have control of their own land and resources. We want to be able to do the type of work that's necessary to basically destroy colonialism, destroy the institution that created all the life-taking situations that African people face worldwide. We have this wonderful booth here today. We have a lot of good information that we want to give out to the people. But more importantly, we want to build an organization here in Oakland and in the Bay Area. We have a beautiful Uhuru House in East Oakland that we want people to come to on Sundays at 4 o'clock. This is where we have the African community meetings, so we can deal with the whole question of overturning the life conditions that African people face.
Great. Thank you so much. And is there anything else you want to say with people who come to this Power to the Peaceful Festival? Even maybe, you know, where that slogan actually, which is, it's been changed somewhat, but where that slogan actually originated and what it originally was.
I mean, Power to the Peaceful is actually Power to the People, which was generated by the Black Panther Party and the Black Power Movement.
Right.
And unfortunately, our stuff has been co-opted to benefit basically imperialism for the most part. I mean, I shouldn't even say for the most part. It benefits imperialism.
Right.
And, this whole process is this lovey-dovey, huggy type of, liberalism.
That, right.
You know, that really, it doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't get to the root cause. It's just this, it wants to keep imperialism as it is.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, but we want people to come here and really get some good information about how they can actually actively participate in being on the right side of the question. And that right side of the question is working, you know, on the side of the African working class.
Great. Thank you so much. Do you want to say a little bit about the flyers that are being put out around the convention?
Okay. That was a great clip. I just want to let people know who are tuning in that they're listening to Solidarity Not Charity, the show hosted by the African People's Solidarity Committee on Uhuru Radio, the online voice of the International African Revolution. And it was really great to hear Sayali and to see the people at the outreach booth yesterday challenging this sort of white claim to peace, and really also calling attention to some of the statistics around the Bay Area, people who think they can live in San Francisco and ignore the plight of the people in Hunter's Point, or ignore the plight of the people 2 miles away in West Oakland, or 5 miles away in East Oakland. It just is not going to happen. And sooner or later, people are going to be really confronted with it. But at this point, you know, we're out there winning as many allies as we can. We're out there putting out the real truth of what's happening to the African community and other colonized communities in the Bay Area. And it's, you know, in a festival like that, I think it's really fallen on us to get out there and expose things as we've done. Wendy, I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about Sayali and the work of the Uhuru movement.
Yeah, so I just want to say that, you know, it was really great to work with Sayali, and he is one of the leaders in Oakland who has really taken up the responsibility to organize the African working class community, and has taken a stand in, you know, particularly in Oakland, against the policies of police containment of the African community. And it's been quite a year of, you know, attacks on the African community. And, you know, Sayali was excited to come out to this festival because, you know, in just to paraphrase him, you know, he says, you know, people need to know that we're around, we're not going anywhere. We've had attacks on our fundraising and outreach and people attempting to distort and undermine the work that we're doing, and you know, we're on the right side of history. We're not going anywhere, and we're a positive force for change. And so, you know, it was really great. And I also want to say that in addition to being a leader of the Uhuru movement, Sayali is an amazing crochet artist. He makes hats, scarves, purses, and he does this for part of his living. He donated a large percentage of the proceeds yesterday. They were a donation, actually, because we weren't technically selling merchandise. We were asking for donations. And he donated a large percentage to the Uhuru movement, which is awesome. And, you know, people were just flocking to the booth because of the beautiful crochet work that he does. So,
right. It's interesting. You know, my work is primarily in Uhuru Foods, and we're always looking for opportunities to be out in the world, to make sales, raise important resources for the work of the Uhuru movement, and again, meet people and gain allies. And, you know, but I do wonder what the agenda is of this festival. I remember a couple years back there was a group from a Mexican liberation organization.
Right.
Out there, mm-hmm. who were just trying to sell tamales out of a couple coolers, and they were chased off the grounds because they hadn't paid the food vending permits. I mean, they were struggling to raise, you know, a couple $100 in the face of this you know, this huge stage and all this equipment and you know, corporations supporting the Power to the Peaceful, and now Michael Franti's working with CARE. And so anyway, Wendy, I know that you've done some research into the goals of the festival, and I was just wondering if you could say a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I really want, you know, people who, you know, enjoy the music and some of the things that Spearhead and Michael Franti are offering, you know, definitely there's like kind of this community around it to hear what we're saying, because this is not some kind of a personal attack on him. It's a political struggle. And we feel that by giving people an African internationalist analysis, we are, you know, what part of that is helping them make a distinction between this liberal call for peace, for anti-racism and nonviolence, and the struggle, the legitimate struggle that we're asking people to support against colonialism, that the Uhuru movement is leading, led by the African working class, engaged in building a united and liberated Africa and African people. And African internationalism connects us with the struggles of all oppressed peoples on the planet. And, you know, like you mentioned, the Mexican and indigenous people on this land that is stolen, and all other people struggling for genuine freedom. And so when an oppressor nation that sits on top of oppressed nations of people is destroyed, that's when true peace can come about. And, you know, I think that this is something that I was telling people yesterday, and it seemed like a good way to break it down, so I'll just try it. I mean, there are a lot of North Americans now who are attempting to, quote, you know, like in the 60s, live off the grid. And what I was telling people is that, you know, we need to destroy the current grid, you know, and build a revolutionary grid, you know, and that's really what is going to be the answer, you know. And I think many people can see that there's no way to live off the grid. Another person who signed up is someone who knows all about biodiesel fuel, and he kind of lives, you know, on the land in Santa Cruz Mountains, but he is really interested in coming out, you know, coming up to Oakland and sharing his skills, and hopefully we can get him up to African People Solidarity Day. So this festival yesterday, although it was free, it was calling for participation and funds for people to give money to an organization called CARE, which is what is called a relief organization. And in their words, they're a leading humanitarian organization fighting global poverty. And they have programs throughout the world. And, I mean, you can go and check it out at care.org. And, I mean, they have a database of where they do all these projects. And they're in 10 different countries in Africa. They're in East and they're in South Latin America, they're in Asia, they're in the Middle East and Europe. And when you take a look at their campaigns, they talk about fighting poverty, crisis response, world hunger, education, HIV, AIDS, victories over poverty. So, you know, some people may say, well, yeah, they're doing good things, you know. But We have to say that this is an international charity. This is a huge international charity from what I can see that ensures its own existence because it will not change the conditions of poverty and oppression faced by the people on the planet. In fact, if you look at the board of the directors, there are people who represent financial institutions of the white ruling class, neo-colonial people who have served on the World Bank. And these are imperialist institutions that are responsible for the poverty and oppression faced by Africans, Asians, indigenous people throughout the so-called Americas. So, you know, this type of charity, again, is not the answer. It's based on imperialism and maintains imperialism. And I think, you know, what we're really hoping to make clear by this program and by, you know, the work that we do all the time is that it's not about racism, you know, it's about colonialism, and it can't be about charity. It's got to be about true solidarity with national liberation.
Thanks, Wendy, for elaborating on the problem that we have with charity. At this point, we're going to go to some calendar announcements, ways that you can get involved with the Uhuru movement, different areas around the country. In Oakland, we have a Uhuru Solidarity Uhuru Foods meeting at 7 p.m.
Tuesday,
September 15th, and that's at the Mama Buzz Cafe, 2318 Telegraph. And to learn more about it, to get help with transportation, you can reach us at 510-625-1106 or look us up at oakland@uhurusolidarity.org. Also, we will have our fundraising food booth back at the Grand Lake Farmers Market in Oakland near the lake this coming Saturday, September 19th, and the following Saturday, September 26th. And then on the weekend of October 3rd and 4th, we will be at the Hardly Strictly Bluegrass Festival back in Golden Gate Park in San Francisco, and we're looking for volunteers to help with that booth, basically out there all day from 7 till 7, and we'll also be doing a lot of food prep in our kitchen in Emeryville prior to the festival. Lastly, coming up in Oakland on October 20th, we are going to be hosting the African People Solidarity Day at the Humanist Hall, which is on 27th Street between Broadway and Telegraph in Oakland. And Chairman Omali Ishitella, as well as Chairwoman Penny Hess, will be speaking at this historic day. It's a great opportunity to learn more about the Uhuru movement, and we encourage anyone interested, particularly, come out on that day and hear the leadership of the Uhuru movement lay it out.
Right.
Other work that's happening in Florida, there is a forum called No Bailout of Baywalk, Support Economic Development for the African Community. That's going to be September 24th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Atlanta Breads Community Room, 175 First Avenue North in St. Petersburg. And to learn more about that event, contact the Uhuru Solidarity Movement at stpete@apscuhuru.org or give them a call at 727-683-9949. And in Philly, we're pulling it up. We will be, we'll have a presence at the Uhuru Flea Market at the Clark Park on September 26th. And that's West Philly's most popular flea market. You got to come out, learn more about the Uhuru movement. We've got great vendors out there. Again, September 26th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Clark Park, which is at 43rd Street and Baltimore Avenue in Philadelphia. Learn more about that, contact Uhuru Flea Markets, philly@uhurusolidarity.org or 215-387-0919. And Wendy, you had another update for us?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that Uhuru Furniture and Collectibles in Oakland is 20 years old and it's having a birthday party, and that will be Sunday, September 27th, and I believe it is 5 to 8 p.m. And that will also be at the Humanist Hall in Oakland, which is 390 27th Street. So I just want to make sure people knew about that event as well. That's Sunday, September 27th.
Thanks for reminding me about that, because that's the 20th anniversary of Uhuru Furniture, which has been a fundraising project of the African People's Socialist Party. 20 years it has survived, while many of these other charity projects have been washed away or people have lost interest. Uhuru Furniture has maintained the course and raised significant funds and also opened its doors to all kinds of volunteers and donors and shoppers, and we really want to celebrate this, right? I know there's a great program, so learn more about that.
Okay, so we just got an email from Comrade Chairwoman Penny Hess, and she really appreciates the show and just exposing the call for peace on the plantation and instead of denouncing the violence imposed on oppressed peoples of the world, they're calling for peace, imperialist peace. And she wants us to announce, which I think is really exciting, the formation of the Black is Back Coalition for Justice, Peace, and Reparations. And this was formed in Washington, D.C. by the Uhuru Movement, I believe. And they will be holding a march in Washington, D.C. on October 27th, calling for an end to U.S. wars in Afghanistan, Pakistan, and around the world, and for an end to the war against the African community in the U.S. So you will definitely hear more about this. I think it's really very exciting that the African Liberation Movement is calling for this demonstration in D.C.
Well, coming up, we are going to be playing a clip with Akane Nabusa. Now, Akane is the Bay Area organizer of the Japanese Pacific Resource Network and has been a staunch supporter and ally of the Uhuru movement in Oakland and in San Francisco. And she always brings out large groups for these very important fundraisers. I just wanted to say a little bit more about why we were there. We were out there with fundraising yesterday. We were out there with outreach, as we've talked about, making the Burning Spirit newspaper sales, Planet Uhuru t-shirts, the crocheting, and of course our food booth, which sold, we, just so people know, and you can look us up sometime, we had our giant sesame sunflower seed veggie burgers. We have fresh hand-cut fries, crab cakes, and falafels. I really think it was the best menu out there.
It was.
And and the service was impeccable. I mean, when you have, you know, 25 to 30 people working in your booth focused on what we're doing, you're going to get your food quickly. And it was just the spirit in the booth was really incredible. Donations were coming in. When we get a donation, we shout Uhuru. And like I said before, this, we're all volunteers, and we had the participation of JPRN. And it's been a really, it's actually gone both ways. Akane and JPRN have come to us because people want to participate in social work, but also learn more about the struggles of African people in this country. And Akane, you know, told us several years ago that one of the most important books she ever read was Autobiography of Malcolm X, and that
right.
it really
mm-hmm.
informed her life in Japan and also as a Japanese person in the U.S. And so she's a person of really incredible integrity and has taken, you know, that experience from the book and really translated into the way that she lives her life and how she wants to share her life with other Japanese students, you know, coming for 2 weeks to the Bay Area. So, Wendy, you want to say a little bit more about the interview with Akane?
Sure. I think I'm just going to run the clip, but I think it is very, it's just very moving and interesting that there is this sort of this anti-imperialist stance coming from, you know, the Japanese community here and in Japan, because you can, you know, Japan is an imperialist power, and just to mention the relationship that the Uhuru movement has with Yuri Kochiyama, who has been a freedom fighter all her life, and, you know, was there when Malcolm X was assassinated and held his head in her arms when he was killed. So it's just very, I don't know, it's just very significant, this relationship that we have with JPRN, and we're excited to continue it. So I'm just going to run the clip.
Nobusa with the Japan Pacific Resource Network, and she has brought a total of how many volunteers today to Uhuru Foods booth?
22
volunteers. And can you say a little bit about the people that you brought here today, and a little bit about why you've had this partnership, JPRN, with Uhuru Foods and the Uhuru movement for just about 5 years, I think.
Okay. Those students from Japan, they are visiting students and stay here for 2 weeks, joining our education program. What we do is to teach them how to be active member of the society, and not just to only do the charity, what they can do. And I've been working with Uhuru for 5 or 6 years. This is very important because the Uhuru is spreading a political message that is really unusual type of work in Japan. So we're also teaching them, volunteering is not about just charity, but they can do a variety of things. And we also value voicing the different voice, especially those from marginalized communities, very important. We also teaching them about those values. So we really appreciate working with Uhuru.
Awesome. And if you caught that a little earlier, you heard a little bit of cheering. Those were the students from JPRN getting donations from the people buying food at the Uhuru Foods booth. So they get right into it and they raise the funds, and they, I think, understand the importance of what they're doing. And I just wanted to mention also that Akane, with every booth, we always do a political overview, and word for word, she translates into Japanese so that all the students who are coming from Japan catch all the meaning and the significance of what they're participating in. So we just really love working with JPRN. And I guess, Akane, if you could say a little bit, this we're out here at Power to the Peaceful, which is designed to be a day where people think about or work for peace or spread a message of peace. And I wondered if you could just say a little bit about your thoughts about what, you know, what will bring peace. We know the world is in tremendous crisis, and a little bit about your thoughts on what will bring peace to the planet.
Well, yes, we think that first step towards a peace is voicing different voices. And we also teach our students from Japan about there is not only America that has been seen through the media. That is why very, very important to work with Uhuru, because they learn about them. Otherwise, they never learn about the history of oppressed people and different and positive image of African-American people here.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Thank you. That's really moving, really important. And I guess just anything else you would like to say about, you know, about this experience or, you know, anything else for our listeners on a Solidarity Not Charity program on Uhuru Radio?
Yes, and unfortunately, many people in Japan don't know about the reality of America and also what that African American people have been going through,
right.
And I want to them to know about real history. And I think it's important that you guys giving the right information to not only the people in the United States, but you know, around the world, including Japan.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Uhuru.
Should have said stuff.
So you were talking about what you want to teach the students who come here from Japan as part of your program. What, you know, what you're giving them.
Yes, this is a learning experience. I'm creating a learning experience that you know, from hands-on activity. This is very important, and because what our students being experienced over just 1 week was a different America. They're a totally different America than we've seen Japan through the TV.
Right.
And which is white America. Maybe it's okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's
sure.
Okay.
Yes,
they see only in white America.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see white America. They don't know
that's the truth.
Other.
Yeah.
This, you know, majority of people actually here are people of color,
mm-hmm.
and so that was really shocking for them. And what should I say?
it's so great. And just that we have really appreciated working with you all these years. Uhuru.
Uhuru.
Uhuru. Well, thank you, Wendy, for conducting the interviews yesterday, and Akane, thank you for again showing the incredible solidarity with the work of Uhuru Foods and the broader Uhuru movement. And I think that one of the amazing things really about working with the Uhuru Solidarity Movement and Uhuru Foods is the fact that it opens up these layers of people's history that's been whitewashed by imperialism. And I think that it's, personally for me, it's always informing to work with these volunteers, and in particular with Asian volunteers, who have oftentimes a very fresh perspective of the U.S. and can see through some of this whitewashing. And I mean, in the background of the interview, Alanis Morissette was playing, and basically lulling people into their little afternoon nap out at the park. And meanwhile, in the Uhuru Foods booth, most of the volunteers from Japan came from the Osaka region. Mm-hmm. And Akane was telling me that for some reason, people from Osaka are very outgoing. And that was certainly true, you know, in our booth. And so to see the, you know, to compare the two things, one, this lullaby to white people, and the other, to see hardworking people really struggling and raising resources for the African Revolution, the distinction was pretty sharp. Another thing that I wanted to say is we had this group from the Skyline, a Skyline High School club from Oakland, helping in the booth, and they've been working with us for several years, and some of these students have helped since they were in ninth grade, and so they really have the mechanics of the booth down. We asked them to help lead sales and also help facilitate different parts of the booth. They just really took on their positions of leadership within the booth and helped with the, you know, language barriers and demonstrated how to do things. So they were really important to the work of the foods booth. And, you know, like you said earlier in the show, Wendy, the African community has come under really sharp attack in Oakland this past year, and the Uhuru movement has defended the community with marches and call-ins and protests, including the one for Lavelle Mixon in East Oakland, which has sharply divided a lot of people, because Lavelle Mixon, as people may know, shot and killed four police officers before being killed himself. And most of those details are whitewashed, and or there's no information being put out by the police department. But in the wake of the killings, Uhuru Movement organized a march calling for a really complete analysis of what's going on in East Oakland and what's going on in African communities around the country. So that divided a lot of people, and some of our supporters left. And some of occasionally we'll have some cowardly adult come by our food booth at the Grand Lake Farmers Market and say something under their breath to the volunteers, and they race off, you know. And one of our volunteers told me that basically she summed it up that if there weren't people out there like that, we wouldn't be in the food booth doing the kind of work that we do. So she was very clear about the dynamics of why it's important to do the Uhuru Foods work. Anyway, coming up right now, we're going to play a short clip with Yona Ryo, who was one of the members of JPRN. She's Korean. She grew up in Japan, but like I say, she's Korean. And Japan occupied Korea from 1910 to 1945. And of course, the U.S. became involved right after that, right after World War II, and the aggression against the peoples of Korea. And Wendy had an opportunity to interview Yona. We're going to go to that clip right now.
Great.
So I'm speaking with Yona, who is part of JPRN. She is volunteering with Uhuru Foods today through Japan Pacific Resource Network. And Akane was just explaining to me about history that many North Americans, including myself, are not aware of. And it's about very similar to U.S. imperialism and the way it's destroyed cultures and whole societies and nations of people. She talked about how Japanese imperialism and the Japanese occupation of Korea. And so Yona is going to tell us a little bit about just her personal experience and her real, you know, living through that history of what it's like to be of Korean descent in Japan. And people do not know about this history. So what you're telling us is so important for the world to really know, you know, about Japanese imperialism, which is so much like what U.S. imperialism has done to people on the planet. So thank you for speaking with us, Yona. And don't worry about it. Just tell us a little bit about, you know, your experience.
Okay, yeah. Hi, my name is Yona Ryo. I came from Japan. I'm the third generation Korean living in Japan. My grandparents immigrated to Japan because to search for a better life. And then my parents was born in Japan, and I was born in Japan, and so I'm a third generation of a Korean, Dainichi Korean. And Dainichi means who has Japanese permanent residency, but they keep their Korean nationality, because it's hard to get the citizenship in Japan. Even though I was born in Japan, I lived in Japan for my life, but I have only permanent residency, that I don't have Japanese citizenship. That means I don't have the same human rights in Japan, no bonding rights, and even though we paying the tax and we're doing the same thing in Japan, like as Japanese people. And
so when you say you don't have human rights, so you, I know Akane said you don't have voting rights. What are some of the other rights that are denied you as a Korean?
Sometimes there's discrimination in the working place. Mm-hmm. When I was in high school and after graduating high school, I had to get some part-time job, and I was sometimes, not all of the work, but I was sometimes refused because of my nationality, as I'm keeping my Korean name, so they totally recognize me as Japan foreigners. Mm-hmm. It becomes different. Last name is so different. I look Japanese, but when they find out my name, totally different. So they recognize as foreigners. So they sometimes change their attitudes toward me.
You have not changed your name, right?
No.
Because, you know, can you talk about why you have not changed your name?
Because it depends on the people. My parents didn't use their Japanese name. Some people try to use their create their Japanese name to avoid their discrimination. Mm-hmm. But in my case, I didn't grow up using my Japanese name. And also, I didn't want it to change. Mm-hmm. It's like so oppressed.
Right.
Why should I hide my real name?
Right.
So that's why. But it is sad that many foreigners, many Chinese Koreans in Japan try to use their Japanese name to avoid discrimination. And yeah. And also, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. That, you know, this is really just something that we do not hear about. I think it's interesting. Akane talked about how you get a very different picture of the United States from the media, you know, and we get a very different picture of Japan from the media, and we don't, you know, it's really about people coming together and uncovering, you know, what is really going on and the truth. And is there anything else you wanted to say about volunteering or?
Now I'm a member of Eclipse Rising, also who come together to emulate. All of us member is Chinese Koreans, and we have totally different backgrounds. Even though we're same Chinese Korean people, but try to fight for social justice, and also learn about our history, also other minority groups, and yes.
Great. Can you say the name of the organization again?
Eclipse Rising.
Eclipse Rising.
Yeah,
okay, great.
Can you tell them?
We are always under the Japanese imperialism and hiding and under the sun of Japanese.
Like the flag that has the sun on it. Right, yeah. But you are rising.
Yeah, we are rising.
Right. All right, Uhuru. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. The eclipse is rising.
That's right.
Not only in Korea and Japan, but right here in Oakland and across the country, the eclipse of imperialism is rising. There are a lot of great people we come in contact with through this work, and I think the work offers people an opportunity to participate on a lot of different levels, and it gives people a sense of purpose and significance. And the movement calls for monetary support for the programs, but also for the skills and the muscle and experience that a lot of people have to offer. And here's a short clip with Tom Fisher, who has worked with Uhuru Foods since about February of this spring and has done significant work, especially with our equipment. But basically, he's on from dawn till dusk and beyond. And here is Tom Fisher.
And a volunteer with Uhuru Foods for how many months now, Tom?
I don't know.
Lost count. So,
five
or 6 months. And I guess, you know, can you say a little bit about how you first got involved and maybe...
Oh, I was looking on the computer, looking for some place to volunteer my time because being laid off work.
Right.
And just sitting at home with my butt growing roots. So I called you guys up, and it took us probably a month or so to kind of get hooked up. And then after that, I started coming out with you guys and met Bill and you and Maureen and just tried to put myself out there to do whatever I can to help.
Yeah. And Tom has built a number of rolling shells for Uhuru Foods. He's been, you know, went up to Reggae Rising and set up a whole volunteer encampment that took
that
took
was
some
pretty
few
fun.
Hours.
I went out on a limb and did a bunch of extra stuff because, gosh, it's all for a great cause.
You know,
so if I put in a few dollars here and there and everything else to try and get things rolling, make it easier to function, I'm in.
I'm
the kind of guy that wants to put both feet in.
Yeah, awesome. Can you say a little bit maybe about what, so I know you were able to hear Dr. Aisha Fields and the whole vision of what the African Village Survival Initiative is
was great to come out on Wednesday night and to get a firsthand feel for everything that's going on and on the added side, the plus side, other people that are involved in different areas of Uhuru. And so it's good to see and good to hear. Because it kind of substantiated how I felt and what I wanted to offer, you know. And maybe at some other point we can turn around and get something going for construction and so forth and getting different companies, big corporates, to volunteer materials and everything and put it to good use.
That's great. That is Tom Fisher, one of the amazing volunteers with Uhuru Foods. And like Tom said, he likes to jump in with both feet and both legs and torso and arms. I mean, the guy has done incredible work, and of course, he is not alone. Throughout the year, we've involved many different people, and if you'd like to get involved with Uhuru Foods, one way to find out is go to our uhurufoods.org website. You see a slideshow of volunteers with all kinds of, with the dates of work that's going on. So, Wendy, we're nearing the end of the show. I was just wondering if you would like to say a little bit about how people can participate in the upcoming work and describe some of the events that are going on.
Okay, thanks, Bill. This has been a great show. And I just wanted to remind people that we are meeting. The Uhuru Solidarity Movement and Uhuru Foods will meet on Tuesday. We are now meeting the second and fourth Tuesdays of the month, and this will be at Mama Buzz Cafe at 7 o'clock, which is at 2318 Telegraph Avenue. We're going to discuss a number of things, including the work of the to build African People's Solidarity Day, which, like Bill said, will be in Oakland on October 20th, and we want to get everyone involved in that. We're going to talk about the fundraising for African Village Survival Initiative. We also want to point people to the calendar of Malia Shetela. You can find out about that on Uhuru News. We're really pushing this beautiful calendar. We want everyone to buy it. It has historic photos of the African liberation movement. So contact us, and hopefully some of you that we met yesterday are listening, and you